pleased to be joined by Executive Vice President and General Manager of the Saints, Mickey Loomis. And Mick, are the phones heating up? Is it any different now than it is in other years as you sit at 15 in the first round without another number two?
No, it's not any different. I really haven't talked to that many people, so I expect to as we get closer to our pick, but it's pretty quiet, really.
You mentioned 2 days ago it's been acknowledged that Chris Ivory is a possible trade subject. Should we, if that deal is done, should we expect it to be done today, tomorrow, Saturday, after the draft? Tell me the parameters of making such a deal.
Well, I don't have any parameters for doing such a deal. Look, you know, Chris is a good player for us, and I wouldn't be at all surprised if he's on our roster opening day. So I'll leave it at that.
All right. I was hearing today that somebody said, I was listening on the way into a prognosticator, and he said to get a number two, you'd probably have to have somebody move up six spots to get your to get yours. Is that about, you get your number one. Is that about what you would say, that if you were to drop six spots, you might be able to pick up a number two as
Yeah,
well?
I think that's about right. Six or more.
Six or more.
Yeah, I think less than that, you're probably looking at a third and maybe something else, but to get a second, I think that's probably right.
Well, you think about all the different things that people out there that really hold draft in, you know, high regard. I mean, they look forward to this day and one thing and another. That has been one of the bigger questions as well to me. You know, is there a chance that the Saints can get back into the second round? And I thought you'd have to do a little bit more than six spots right there, and you know, possibly a player of the caliber of a Chris Ivory, something like that. But the only way you can approach it right now is to go in with the attitude, guys, we don't have that pick. And knowing full well something could happen, but you just got to go into it saying basically that's a dead duck for tomorrow.
Yeah, and I think this too, you have to be a little bit cautious about just trading just to get into the second round. I mean, you'd much rather, before you give up something, you'd much rather have an idea of who's going to be available to you. I mean, maybe, you know, when you're picking in the second round, there's not a player, you know, that would help us as much as, you know, Chris Ivory or, you know, a future pick or, you know, whatever it may be. So, you know, I would say you need to be a little bit cautious about just getting into the round. That doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get a great player that fits your team.
Last year, I think there were 16 trades involving positions in the first round out of the 32 selections, either prior to the draft or during the draft. Do you expect that much action to occur in the first round this year?
You know, Jim, I think I probably would say yes. And I think this, I think the way the rookie contracts work in this this era we're in right now lends itself to more trades. Mm-hmm. Particularly when you're talking about the top 10 picks, where as before it was, you know, the contracts were so big it was hard to trade into a high pick and unless you had a real conviction about a player and so I would expect there to be a lot of action.
And people were talking about the fact that now it's a little bit more palatable to pick a quarterback late in the first round because, as you say, with the rookie wage scale, it's a little bit easier. How about salary cap wise? How much will you, I think I'd read that you only had like $2 million under the cap a week or two ago. How much will you have to massage that cap in order to sign your draft choices?
Well, we're fine there. We've got enough room to do that. And we've got a plan for it. We pretty much know what the salary cap cost is going to be for our draft picks. And look, the only thing that would impact that is if we were to acquire, you know, a couple more picks, you know, high picks or a first round, and that's unlikely to happen.
How would you like to be in San Francisco's position with 13 draft choices?
Well, look, listen, you'd love to be in that position. Although, you know, as good as they are, I don't know if 13 guys can make their team.
Yes, that's what I was hearing, too. There's great likelihood that they're going to package some of those guys and go after and try to move up to target a specific player because, as you say, 13 guys aren't going to make that team, and they have specific areas of need that they could address with a combination of picks.
Right. Well, you know, they've done a great job, really, of assembling that team and acquiring picks, you know, not unlike New England has been able to do in the past. So, good luck to them.
How many mock drafts have you guys done?
Well, we don't do a lot of those. I mean, we'll pay attention to the mock drafts that are out there and you know, look at that. But we're paying more attention to, hey, who are the five or six guys that we believe will be available when we pick, and what order do we like them in, and how do their grades impact the order that we like them in, obviously, and what happens if none of them are there? What happens if all of them are there? Are we interested in moving back? Are we interested in moving forward? So, look, you know, we read them, we look at them, but we don't sit around and do, you know, one mock draft after another.
How long ago did you set your board?
Well, you know, in its final version just a couple of days ago. So it's you know, one of these things that's kind of a dynamic animal and you know, it gets tweaked. You move one guy above another on a daily basis almost.
Mm-hmm. When the Jets got the number one pick of Tampa and they've got two selections in front of you, I wonder how you reacted to that. You've got two teams behind you with a pair of draft choices in the first round, in the Rams and the Vikings, possible trade partners, San Francisco with 13 picks. How does that change the dynamic, or does it at all?
Well, you know, all it really does is look, we pay attention to what we think, what our pro department thinks the needs of a specific team are. And so, you know, obviously we had some perceived needs that Tampa had, picking right there, and now we have some perceived needs that the Jets have, and so that gives you, you know, cause to think that, hey, they might take player A or player B as opposed to the player that Tampa might be interested in. And so it impacts it in that regard, but other than that, look, there's going to be 14 guys taken before we pick, and so we've got to like 15 guys.
Well, that's, you know, sometimes you mentioned just a minute ago, sometimes you look at it, none of the guys are there, sometimes all of the guys are there. I don't know that I've ever been in a situation when all of them were there. That might be more difficult than if none of them were there because, you know, if you're sticking to your system, best player available, all that. But also, you're not really accustomed to picking that high, you know, at the 15th spot. You're a little bit further down, so... I mean, I'm just kind of going back to my old days, and I know things have changed light years since then, but, you know, we were always picking up high and right. Because, well, we just weren't very good, to be honest with you. But it's nothing of it is an easy process, and like you say, once that phone starts ringing, that can just change the dynamics of everything that happens before you and after you.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Hokie. Although I would say this, we try to make all these decisions days ahead of time. You know, look, we know the five guys, say, let's call it five, maybe more, maybe less, the five guys that we think we like a lot, that we think have a chance to be there, we know in what order we like them. And so if three of them are there, we know before we pick that, hey, we liked, you know, A, B, and C. And so the decisions, those decisions are already made. The tough one, and you identified, is hey, if all the guys are there and somebody calls and wants to move up four spots and we got five guys we like, hey, is that worth it to us? Mm-hmm. You know, picking up a second or a third round choice or whatever it is that worth backing up when we know we're still going to get one of the guys that we like? And obviously, if there's only one there and somebody calls, then it's going to be hard. We're going to be hard pressed to move back. And that's actually what's happened to us recently is that, look, we've had four guys or three guys that we like. When it comes time to pick, there's only one left. And so we get a call, or we may not get a call, but if we did get a call, then we're less inclined to move backwards.
Mickey, thank you so much. Keep your radio locked on WWL for another half hour of WWL Saints Draft Preview right after this news update with Shayna Rose.